I'm John Robb, and you're listening to Here Manchester.com, a series of 10 audio portraits exploring the rich and varied history of Manchester, from the towpath of the Rochdale Canal that cuts through the heart of one of the greatest cities in the world. The canal is a fantastic place to come and sit or wander. There's a good chance you can come over all poetic as you take the sights in. We have a strong stable of literary high achievers from modern wordsmiths like Morrissey, Sean Ryder, John Cooper Clarke and Lem Sisse, right the way back to Anthony Burgess and Thomas de Quincey, author of one of my favourite books, The Confessions of an English Opium Eater, which he wrote in 1822. Confessions shocked Victorian Britain, and he is a really important figure in Manchester's literary history, and I'm going to step off the canal by Oxford Road for a drink with a man of letters, Bob Dickinson.
Thomas de Quincey was born in Manchester. He was obviously one of the most influential romantic poets and essayists, and he was born here in 1785, which is roughly a decade or so after the canals were completed, so he would have known the canal system here. And he and his brother had to walk into Salford over the Oxford Road Bridge, where the canal goes under the Oxford Road to this day. And him and his brother were every day ambushed by the cotton mill lads, who shouted "boots, boots" at them because they wore Hessian boots, which were sort of posh middle class.
So what you say is a real tradition, apart from de Quincey's, Manchester got a particular tradition of poets and writers.
Well, de Quincey had a real direct influence over one other poet, Francis Thompson. He was a medical student at Manchester Royal Infirmary, and he was given a copy of the Confessions of an Opium Eater, de Quincey book, by his mother as a present. And he was so impressed by it that he decided he'd try laudanum. And he, of course, became addicted to laudanum, and he started just wandering around the city of Manchester, stoned out of his head. And eventually he walked all the way to London, and he became a beggar, writing and self-publishing poems, and he was discovered on the street by a couple called the Meynells, who published poets. They thought he was a genius, and his most well-known poem is called The Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven opens with the lines, "I fled him down the nights and down the days, I fled him down the arches of the years, I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears I hid from him and under running laughter." You know, it's the same thing, it's that I've got this huge kind of town or city landscape in my head. That's my personality, and that's
so, which was Manchester?
Well, it was Manchester, yeah. It was London, it was all sorts of places. Yeah, it was the human personality in the end.
My name's Danny Brocklehurst, scriptwriter, responsible for shows like Sorted, Talk to Me, Shameless, Clocking Off. You know, working in television, there's this thing that I think Tony Wilson said actually about talent clustering, which, you know, there's this strange thing about Manchester writers. There's quite a lot of us actually who have stayed here and kind of wouldn't live anywhere else. And I don't know, maybe you do find this in, you know, Leeds and Edinburgh and various other places. I don't know, maybe you do. But there's something very Mancunian about that, that we're very proud of being here and from here and having this voice. And sometimes I meet people like in, you know, in the industry and they're from Manchester and you kind of just click straight away. There's just something about it. I don't know. It's a weird, you know, indefinable thing really. But I think there's just something about the way we kind of operate that you kind of get.
And with Rob Page, the boss and the founder of Common Press, the leading publisher of fiction in the northwest of England. And what I like to know from Rob is there a tradition? Is there a Manchester school of writers?
There is and there isn't. There is a really strong poetry scene at the moment. Prose writers in the city are a little bit more diverse. But that said, there is an incredibly healthy breed of writers that's produced by the city, you know, every year, every decade.
Is there anything about the city that's reflected in the writing?
Yeah, I think it's industriousness, it's resourcefulness, it's kind of its ability to improvise and it's and adapt. I think it's very international. It's sometimes more international than the sort of London writing scene. I think it's very outward looking.
So what kind of things do people write about then? Would they write about stories in the city life?
One of the paradoxical things about writing is instead of trying to write generically to a generic audience and set your stories kind of nowhere in particular or in the middle of the mid-Atlantic or in kind of hybrid cities, it's actually better if you're specific. Write about the canal or the bridge over the Irwell or the corner of Bridge Street and King Street or whatever. One of our best stories that we published recently was by David Constantine.
All the years I was going to school, and for many before that, so I am told, there was a madman on Victoria Bridge called Charlie. He wore the cap and jacket of a sort of uniform, and he believed himself to be in charge of the comings and goings of the buses on Victoria Bridge. He had a pocket watch that he consulted frequently, and a notebook, and one of those pencils you have to keep licking to get it to write.
Bob, you moved here in 1977, and you said it's basically because of Spiral Scratch, which is a record that's got fantastic lyrics on it. I mean, do you see any kind of connection with, say, Howard DeVoto or Morrissey, all those kind of people, with people like De Quincey?
Yeah, I bought the Buzzcocks' first EP, Spiral Scratch, and I was living in Norwich at the time, which is about as far away from punk rock as you could possibly imagine. So I thought, I want to go and be a part of this thing that's happening in Britain. And after I left university, I went to Manchester and I wanted to write. There was a magazine then called the New Manchester Review, which was a fortnightly What's On. It turned out that the address that that office was 182 Oxford Road. It was the post office box address for the Buzzcocks. As well as being a place where you could sit and write all day on an old manual typewriter and get yourself published once a fortnight, it was where the Buzzcocks and loads of other musicians would wander in, and it was a great place to get to know people. So there was always this interaction between music, experimental writing and publishing. It was all sort of part of the same mentality.
There's clearly something about Manchester that's a real hotbed of talent and people with something to say. I mean, creatively, in both music and in writing, you know, for years and years and years now, we've pumped out brilliant, brilliant stuff out of this city. And I don't think that can be a coincidence. I think there must be something about living here, or the mood here, or the kind of poetic nature of the city, or something in the air, I don't know, that kind of makes people feel, you know, that they want to produce good work. I really do hope that Wilson's legacy is that we can kind of continue to be a really creative city.
If you've enjoyed this programme, why not venture further along the Rochdale Canal and discover more portraits of our magnificent city at heremanchester.com.